We've been sharing about Christ the Rock, and about how we're to keep on looking. Been looking at the story of Daniel in Babylon and the great vision he had. Actually, it was the vision King Nebuchadnezzar had. I suggested last week that really the vision was for Daniel as much as for anyone. Israel was in exile. How many of you know what exile is? Simply being somewhere you know you're not supposed to be. Out of place, out of joint. The food's strange, the culture's strange, the people are strange, your friends are gone. It's just not where you're meant to be. That's called exile. But the dream for Daniel was that he should keep on looking. And of course, he saw a great vision that was a glimpse of God's eternal kingdom. He said, I saw a rock. After all of these other kingdoms represented by this great statue, he said, I just kept looking and I saw a rock cut out without hands. And he says, that rock crushed and ground these other kingdoms to powder. And he said, but it itself endured forever. Wonderful glimpse of our Savior Jesus Christ, placed on the throne by God the Father, of whom it is said, of his kingdom there shall be no end, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. Paul tells us to keep looking at things that are unseen. That's one of the craziest phrases in Scripture. Fix your eyes, Sterling, on things you can't see. Now, how do we do that? Look at the things that are unseen, not at the things that are seen. Look at them. So we're challenged, Old Testament and New, to see the things that God sees and wants to reveal to us, which is his eternal kingdom. And as we keep on looking, we said we keep on living. And that was the word of God to the exiles in Babylon. You know, especially in times of crisis and exile, there's a lot of voices. And you have to sift through them, don't you? I think about all the books that have been written about the end is coming and, you know, what was it? 20 reasons the Lord's coming back in 20-something. And then the next year you got to write another one, 20 reasons why he didn't come that year. A lot of voices, and Daniel had to sift through all of the voices of the false prophets, just like Jeremiah did. But I want to read a couple of scriptures this morning and talk this morning about keep on listening. So we're talking about keep on looking, keep on living, and keep on listening. Now, look, apart from catchy sermon titles, we're here to preach the gospel again to ourselves. We're here to hear again and again the good news of Jesus Christ, apply it to our lives, and go on living. So I'm not trying to be catchy. I'm not trying to be funny. I want us to hear the gospel again and again and again so that it comes into us incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. It's like losing a spouse or a child. You wonder, is this going to define my life? Will I ever get rid of the pain? That's exile. That was the questions all of the exiles with Daniel had to ask. Is this my life now? Is this the way it's going to be, Jim? New name, foreign government, serving an ungodly king. Lost my mom and dad, lost some friends. Will it ever be any different? And there's a thousand ways we can all be cast into some type of exile, either personally or as a church or as a group. Or will this define me? Can I continue to live and hear God where I am? That's a good question we all ought to ask. We shared last week Paul's word to Titus. The grace of God has appeared to all men. How many of you know the grace of God's not limited by any kind of geographical boundaries, not limited by who's in charge in any given moment? The grace of God has appeared to all men. It always teaches us to say no to ungodliness and live righteous lives while we wait and keep on looking for His kingdom to continue to appear. So we can't really go on living without keeping on looking and listening to the eternal. That we're trying to learn how to live an eternal kind of life, and we have to see something that you can't see with our natural eyes. So I want to read two passages, probably familiar to most of you. We've read them recently, I guess. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. And something of a life verse for me. I use it a lot when we teach our pastors in other countries. So you guys that have traveled with me know my little shtick that I give them when we teach these things. Hebrews chapter 1, in the past. Would you just say that with me? In the past. In the past, God spoke. I'm here to just celebrate with you the gospel this morning again. I just want to say I'm glad we serve a God that talks. And that takes the initiative in all of that to reveal Himself. I'm just so glad. I'm glad it's not my responsibility to find Him. Or I would remain lost. He took it upon Himself, Phil, to come find me. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. We've just talked about those, dreams, visions. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. We might say in person. Whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Sustaining all things by His powerful word. And one verse from 1 Corinthians 8. Paul is instructing the Corinthians. The context here is about food and how we should not offend people and how we need to be careful. But he says, verse 5, even if there are so-called gods, little g, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many, yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. Next verse says, but not everyone knows this. God in His grace has spoken to us in a person. Given us someone not just to hear and listen to, but to see in person, in Christ. In the past, visions, angels, dreams, donkeys, prophets, He spoke to us. But like Daniel, he didn't just have a vision. He didn't just see something. In Jeremiah 29, the prophet is commanded to write a letter to the exiles where Daniel is living in Babylon. All right? We read some of that last week. So we're not only having this vision that's going to sustain them because they're looking toward the future and God's promise, God's kindness writes it down for them. And He signs it with His own name. He actually puts His signature in the beginning. God, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, says this. Dr. Peterson translates that, the Lord of hosts, as the God of angel armies. God, the God of angel armies, says this: go on living. Build houses. Plant vineyards. Eat what they produce. But I don't like it here. Keep living. Pray for the city you're sent to. In its welfare, you'll have welfare. Now that's a hard word. So we have something to look for in the vision of the eternal, but we have something written. Written just like you would write a thank you note. It's Peterson's chapter. It's written in everyday language. How good is God to speak that way to us? Look, I'm writing it down for you so you can read it again and again and again and keep listening to what I'm saying. Go on living. Don't stop marrying. Don't stop having kids. What are the two reasons people quit living? Do not fear or be dismayed. People either get afraid or they just give up. That's the two primary reasons we quit living, isn't it? You think of another one? Well, you know, I'm dismayed. And the Lord says, I'm going to write this down for you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Keep living. Keep living. But he wrote it down. He writes a letter. He didn't send a text. And I'm not trying to be funny. I just think our generation, we've forgotten we don't write anymore. We don't sign our names anymore like we used to when you wrote a letter. I thought about the communication during the American Revolution. You know, you got to write a letter to the government in France. Well, you only get one shot at saying what you want to say because it's going to be months before you can respond. And you put that letter on a boat, and it's going to take, I don't know, how long did it take to cross the Atlantic? Some of you historians tell me. Weeks. And then that letter has to be sorted out and find its way to the embassy. And that's how correspondence happened in the birth of our nation or in that era. But I'm overcome again by the fact that God just speaks and he writes it down. The God of hosts, the God of angel armies says this. I wonder, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Daniel had something written from the prophet Jeremiah, but it had God's signature on it. So there's something to see. There is the eternal we are commanded to see. But it's kind of God to put it in writing. I think writing is a good way to communicate. It's kind of like talking. You know, we don't even talk anymore. We text. I offended someone in a text this week. I know it's a gift. I'm almost certain, had we been speaking person to person, it would not have happened. So God, you know, he's pretty clear. And he wants us to keep listening to what he's saying. I'm glad he's put it in writing for us. I'm glad he spoke in a person. I'm glad Jesus' name is called the Word of God. There's a reason for that. He is the wonderful, ultimate, awesome, all-encompassing communication of God to us about himself. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of his nature. And he comes to us in person. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. God says, look, I want you to know me. I want you to hear me. I'm going to come in person. John says, that which we have seen and heard and touched, we declare unto you. Handled, the King James said, which we have seen and heard and handled with our own hands. We handled him. And so the exiles have something written with God's signature on it that gives them instruction. But you have to keep hearing it. You have to keep listening. Have you figured out how many times you have to read this to get it? Because you've got to keep on listening. God's word is wonderful. I want to just suggest two things quickly this morning in light of keep on looking, listening, and loving, and living. And that is to just maintain your respect for God's word. It has his signature on every page. I wonder if it would make a difference if when we read or spoke the scripture to one another, we would preface it by saying, God, the resurrected Jesus, God in the flesh, says this. If it would make any difference, rather than just skimming over it, and like we do in text, you know, like we expect God to respond with, are you okay? God in the flesh, risen from the dead, victor over the grave and sin and evil, says this. Keep listening to what he says. As one of our great favorite teachers says, don't just read it, Wyatt. What? Don't just read it. Swim in it. That's John Piper. Don't just read it. He quoted that to me. Swim in it. It's got his signature on it. What difference does it make if it's from me or if it's from God? Hopefully all the difference in the world. And Paul understood that when he wrote to the Thessalonian church. He said, I'm so grateful that when you received the word of God, you received it just for what it is, his word and not mine. That's what he said. Not the word of man, but the word of God. He said, which has the power to transform you. Bill's word, non-transformative. Just words on a page signed by Bill. We're good. So we need to just maintain our respect for the written word. I just want to say again, not just the parts that make you feel good. Hebrews tells us that God is a consuming fire. It simply means he's serious. That's why we read these Old Testament stories. That's why we get bogged down in all of the minutiae in the Old Covenant. One writer, preacher said recently, he got into Leviticus and he was wearing himself out just trying to read through it. He says, but God said one thing to me. He said, I'm serious. I'm serious about everything. That's what Leviticus teaches us. It's simply God saying, I care about everything. I care about how you do life. I care about all of that. And so when the New Testament tells us our God is a consuming fire, pay attention. He said, if under an old, worn-out system that couldn't make anybody righteous, he says, if every sin received its just reward, he said, how are we going to escape if we neglect such a great salvation? God's still serious. He's still serious about life and living and loving and doing things his way. So don't just read it, swim in it. Read as though it's got his signature on it. This is what the Lord says. And the reason we do that is because there's all these other voices that aren't true, just as there were in Jeremiah's day. There were prophets going around saying, it's going to be all right. This is all going to be over in 2 years, Bobby. We'll go back to Jerusalem. About 2 years, it'll all be over. Everything will be fine. And the Lord said, don't listen to them. He said, I didn't send them. He said, build houses, plant vineyards, go on living, because I know the plans I have for you. When 70 years, not 69 and a half, when 70 years are completed, he said, I will come to you. Isn't that good? And he signs his name. God, Jehovah, the righteous, the rock, whose ways are perfect, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I will come to you. And so there's always competing voices. We always want somebody to pat us on the back and say, it's going to be all right. You're going to be all right in about 70 years. Unless you could keep looking, see the eternal, see that there's only been one thing God's ever wanted to do. He just used different instruments to do it. But he just wants a people in the earth that reflect him and show the world how good he is. That's all he's ever wanted. Y'all know that, don't you? That's all he's ever wanted. Israel couldn't do it, but they had the stuff like we do. They had stuff. So they had, Paul writes and he says, all of Israel, he says they were all baptized into Moses, which is what? In the sea, in the waters of the Red Sea. And they were all baptized in the cloud, the presence. The very presence of God, this external cloud by day and some type of a pillar of fire at night. Okay? And so they got the word, they got the written stuff, they got the tablets etched by God's finger, his signature. They had it all. They had what was written, they had the vision, the eternal, the spirit, and it says, but most of them, God wasn't happy. Because they didn't keep looking. They didn't keep listening. They couldn't hear. You can get across this place in 40 days. There's a land over there I've prepared for you, and it's going to be really good. What did he say? And so, they had it all. They had it all and couldn't do it. We got it all. You not only got what has been preserved historically, you've got something called the Holy Spirit. Listen, let's hear the gospel again. Hear it again. He said, I'm going to send you someone who's going to remind you of what is written. He's going to bring it to your mind and help you walk it out and keep on listening to it. So we have respect for God's Word, the wonderful opportunity to be refilled with His Holy Spirit every day. You can't keep on living if you don't keep on listening. You can't keep on living if you don't keep on looking. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us do that, helps us see with spiritual eyes things that you can't see in the natural. I had two friends. One is past, one still living. And I don't talk to them every day, not even necessarily every week. First one was Cliff Mullen, whose widow is still living and very close to us. Cliff died in his 50s with a lung issue. But he would call me. He grew up here and went to Mississippi State, was a part of our church. He moved to Houston to be involved in ministry to the Latin American community there. Learned Spanish, just loved the people. But he would call me once in a while, and he'd say, hey, Bill, what's the Lord saying? John 3:16? He was serious. He was calling me, wanting me to tell him what I thought I was hearing God say to me. Another friend still living. I talked to him this week. Hey, Bill, what's the Lord saying? It wasn't a greeting. He actually wants to know what the Holy Spirit is telling me and how this is coming alive to me. And so we have two opportunities here this morning to help us keep looking and living and listening. One is, read this with his signature. This is what the Lord of hosts says. Love God, love your neighbor. God, in Jesus Christ, resurrected Son of God, ascended to the Father's right hand, period. And be filled, given us to remind us of what is written. All of Israel, baptized into Moses and the cloud, they had it all. But somewhere along the way, they quit looking and quit listening. And it says their bodies were scattered over the desert. That's Paul's word, putting it nicely. They were scattered across the desert. I want to just encourage all of you this morning. All of you should know the Lord's voice. All of you. Don't claim to have Christ living in you present and not know the sound of his voice. Know it, speak it. I thought this morning of Paul's admonition to the body of Christ. He says, when you come together, what? All of you should have what? A song? A word? Prophecy and utterance? And I thought about how cool it would be if there were volcanic rumblings in each one of us just waiting to erupt because we've all kept on listening and we've heard something that we feel like God is saying and it can't be contained and we're in an environment here and who's got a word? Bam! 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 Just coming out. I want to encourage you. Exercise your gift. You can read it or like Jack, you can shout it prophetically. I mean, you know, that's all prophecy is. You're just declaring what is written. That's all you're doing. You want to practice prophesying, get in here, listen, get it down into your soul, and one day it'll come out, but it won't just come out, for God so loved the world, it'll come out. For God so loved you. And you'll say it eruptively, prophetically. God, the host of angel armies, says to you, keep living. Quit whining. Love your neighbor that you don't know and don't like. God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Goodbye. Signed by God. Keep listening. Read it with his signature. It's not hard to do. Okay? That's my challenge and my call to us this morning, to hear the gospel again and again and again. It's so rich. It's so good. And we'll find a way to anchor ourselves to the rock if we'll do that. We won't be easily shaken or moved when we're cast into unfamiliar territory or exile. We'll have to ask some questions, but eventually we'll ask the right questions, and that is, what's the Lord saying, Ben, in this hour of exile? I really want to know, not a greeting, not a phrase, not a catchphrase. What's the Lord saying? Well, we should know. We should be listening and learning as God leads us. Well, keep learning, keep listening, keep living. Most of you are living. It's good. Most of you are looking. You know there's something out ahead for us in God, always. So we want to celebrate it. Would you just stand and let's just again celebrate God's great purpose in Jesus Christ. We sang of it this morning. Part of the early church, of course, had something to see. They saw, actually, the resurrected Jesus. They kept looking after the cross, and they saw him who was raised from the dead. And the whole term in the scripture, witness, simply means someone who witnessed the resurrected Christ. So you can't witness to something you haven't seen. And you're not going to see it if you don't keep looking. You have to keep looking for the resurrected Christ to appear in your life by the Holy Spirit. And to keep listening to what He has authored and put His name on. Will it make a difference? I hope it will. That you would see it as His word and not mine. Speak it as His word and not mine or not yours. So let's just elevate the Lord's word and His presence among us, all right, as we close this morning. Lord, we just want to make a conscious effort to listen to You amidst all of these other voices that are competing for our attention and our energy and our limited hard drive space. We want to make room and hear Your word again, spoken eternally throughout the ages and now revealed in person to us in Jesus. Thank You for the Holy Spirit given to us as part of Your eternal plan to dwell in the midst of the people You love and made. Making us continually acceptable in Your sight. What a mystery. What a glorious thought. That we could dwell with You without shame or blame. What good news. Make Your word come alive to us again, Lord, as we just commit to hearing and listening and looking and living in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.